Amen. Well, we're going to be hearing from our baptism candidates in just a little bit, but I just want to encourage you from the Word of God first. You know, we are always excited to pray with and to bless those who go through the waters of baptism, such a powerful act of obedience, a symbol of submitting your life unto the Lord, washing the old and stepping into the new resurrection power of Jesus within them. So we bless them for that. Let's pray for this word before we look to it tonight. Heavenly Father, what an honor it is to look to your word, to read your word and receive of it. And tonight, we welcome you and we ask that your voice would be the only voice that is heard tonight, that you would come and speak so directly into our hearts, oh God, that every eye would be opened, that every ear would be open, that every head would be lifted high tonight because of the truth and the power and encouragement that comes from your word. In your name we pray, amen. Well, the title for this message tonight is Because He Lives. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, we're going to read verses 1 to 10. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This is a beautiful passage of scripture that tells the story of how Jesus was miraculously resurrected from the dead, how he defeated death, how he overcame the power and the sting of death, and he rose to life again. The Bible clearly tells us about why Jesus came to earth, to be the Savior for a world that was lost and dying, to reconcile a people back into right relationship with God, for we all were sinners. None of us deserved his grace and his mercy, and yet Jesus chose to come and die this excruciating death that we might live again through him, because we are not able to save ourselves. John 3, verse 16, in the AMPC version, it says, "For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten, unique Son, so that whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, relies on him shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have eternal, everlasting life." Perhaps we are familiar with Romans 3:23 that tells us all of us have sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God, that we each are in need of forgiveness and a cleansing from our sins. We are told in the Bible about how when Jesus would come, that he would not be received by everyone, that he would be misunderstood, that he would be crucified and die on the cross. And the truth for us in the scriptures is that Jesus paid the ultimate price for our sins. He died in our place. However, the story does not end at his death. Can you say amen? This passage of scripture in Matthew, it tells of how Jesus was victorious, how he conquered death. And it is a picture for us of how we too can be set free, of how Jesus wants to raise us to life from our sins and from the darkness of this world. It is a picture of how we are called to have an abundant spiritual life on earth, as well as eternal life with him, because he rose from the dead and because he lives victoriously. Let's look at how this passage relates to our life quickly tonight. Number one is, the stone is rolled away. Verses 1 to 6. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay." Why is it significant to us that the stone that was guarding this tomb was rolled away and that Jesus was no longer there? These specific verses are an account of how the resurrection of Jesus was discovered. It could be said that the miraculous removal of the stone was not in order to let Jesus out, but it was in order to invite and to allow these women to come in and to witness the empty tomb, to witness the power of what had happened. The empty tomb signifies his resurrection, that death could not hold him down. And the angel calls these women into the tomb, that their eyes would be opened spiritually, that they would perceive that Jesus was victorious over death, that he overcame the power of the sting of death, that his promise for spiritual and eternal life came to pass. On this day, when these women came to the tomb, they came to watch over the tomb, to guard the tomb. They were prepared in this moment to mourn, to weep. They were prepared to remain in their sadness, to remain in their pain. But instead, they enter the tomb to see that instead of pain, instead of sadness, that instead there was hope. They enter this tomb to see that their victory was right in front of them. And the question for all of us tonight is this: is there anything that is hindering our spiritual sight tonight? Is there any stone of pride? Is there any stone of unbelief, of sin, any weight of affliction that may be causing anyone to be spiritually blind, to be spiritually dead, as it were? You see, the Spirit of the Lord is in his house tonight, and he is ready to remove any stone, any weight that might be upon our lives that is hindering us to be opened, to understand the meaning of his victory tonight. John 14, verse 19, in the Passion Translation, it says, "Soon I will leave this world, and they will see me no longer. But you will see me, and because I will live again, you will come alive too." Because he lives, he longs and is ready to roll the stone away from our hearts and our eyes, that we may see that he is alive and that he calls us to a greater hope and a greater victory than we ever could have imagined. Number two tonight, because he lives, he holds the future. Verse 6, "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said." The resurrection of Christ signifies his victory over death. And because of that, he now reigns in all eternity. He has the power to set us free from an eternity in darkness. And he is passionate for every soul to call upon his name, to believe in his name, that we would leave our sin behind and that we would follow him and live in him. John 3:16 is the truth for all of us tonight, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but they would have everlasting life because of Jesus. Will we trust him with our future? Will we run to him? Will we surrender to him? Will we choose to come alive in him? Because he lives, he holds our future and has secured our eternity with him if we believe. Number three tonight, because he lives, we must visit him quickly. Verses 7 to 8, "Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. After they had witnessed that death had been defeated, that victory had been won, they were then admonished to go to Jesus, to see him, to visit with him, and to do this quickly. Everybody say quickly. We are admonished that after our eyes have been opened, after we surrender our lives and we place our future in His hands, we must continually visit with Jesus, and we must do this quickly. We must not delay our salvation. We must not be deterred or distracted on our journey of following after Christ wholeheartedly with full commitment and full passion and zeal in our lives. You see, when we understand His sacrifice for us, when we truly understand that He chose to die for our sins, that His love and His commitment for us is more powerful than anything else we will ever experience, when we truly understand that He has called us out of darkness to be in close relationship with Him, our spirits ought to be quickened every day to run to Him, to walk with Him. Romans 8, verse 11, in the Voice, if the Spirit of the one who resurrected Jesus from the dead lives inside of you, then you can be sure that He who raised Him will cast the light of life into your mortal bodies through the life-giving power of the Spirit residing in you. How many here have ever needed a little bit of new life flowing through your veins? How many here have ever needed the power of the Holy Spirit to quicken, to awaken, to bring peace and joy and wisdom? Because Jesus lives, His resurrection power lives within us as well. Because He lives, may we visit Him quickly, to worship Him often, to offer our thanksgiving and our sacrifice of praise often, to believe in the one who has called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light, to receive of His grace quickly, that we would be anointed to carry the presence of Jesus upon our lives. Number four, the final thing tonight is, because He lives, rejoice, all fear is gone. Verses 9 to 10, and as they went to tell His disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. So they came and held Him by the feet and worshipped Him. And then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Jesus commands us to rejoice, to not allow fear to have a hold over our lives. You see, we are aware tonight that there is a spiritual enemy who is seeking to rob our peace, who is seeking to rob our joy, our trust, our very hope in the living Christ. And if we choose, because it is a choice, if we choose to listen to this enemy, it would be easy for us to live in condemnation. It would be easy for us to remain in fear and doubt and guilt and all of these things that the enemy is trying to keep us remaining in our lives. We are not promised a life without troubles. We are not promised a life without sickness, without problems. However, we are promised the power to overcome the fear towards these things in our lives. We are promised the power to overcome the fear against these things in our lives. Jesus said, in this life there will be many troubles. But then He commanded us to take heart, for He has overcome the world. He has overcome every enemy that ever comes against our minds, our thoughts, our feelings, our homes. He has already defeated every single one of those enemies. He has overcome the enemy of fear. He has overcome the enemy of sickness and the enemy of death. Jesus Christ, we need to understand tonight the meaning of His resurrection power, that He has already overcome every single one of those enemies that we will ever face. The enemy of our past, the enemy of our future, all because He has risen from the dead and He holds the victory in the name of Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe. Come on, church, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Are you thankful tonight that because he lives, if we believe in Christ, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work within us as well? These verses tell us that when Jesus Christ rose from the grave, he was seated in the heavenly places and given dominion, given authority over every spiritual power of darkness. And in Christ tonight, we have his power and his life within us that is able to overcome every trial and temptation that comes against our lives every day. Every enemy that seeks to attack our homes, our families, our workplaces, the calling upon your life, we have the same power within us, working within us to overcome, to be victorious, to stand firm, strong, steadfast, immovable in the name of Jesus. Because he lives, let us choose his joy. Let us choose his peace. Let us walk in his victory and rejoice that our hope in Christ casts out every fear in the name of Jesus. Let's have the worship team return at this time. Romans chapter 9, verse 17. For the scripture says to the Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Because Jesus lives, because we serve a living God, he desires to display his power within and through us. In the late 1960s, I personally was not around at that time, but in the late 1960s, I am told that a hymn was written entitled, Because He Lives. Many of you know that my teenage years were spent in Newfoundland, and during every worship service that I was in, you can be sure that at least one or two hymns were sung from the hardcover hymnal that was in the pew in front of us. And you know, I have to say, I really grew to have a love and an appreciation for some of the classic hymns that were written solely to declare specific scriptures from the Word of God, that were written solely to declare the truth of the Word of God and to praise Jesus Christ and his sacrifice and his resurrection power. And I remember this particular hymn, that every time it was sung, it had the anointing upon it to lift every soul, to lift every eye unto this resurrection power of Jesus Christ that not only surrounds us, but that is actually within us. And as we close tonight, we prepare to hear the testimonies of how Jesus has changed these lives. I want to end by reading some of the words of this hymn. It's a compilation of the original hymn as well as a modern version that has added other lyrics to it as well. But let's allow these words, these truths taken directly from Scripture, to lift our soul tonight, to empower us to live in the power of Christ every day. It goes like this. God sent his Son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. I believe in the Son. I believe in the risen one. I believe I overcome by the power of his blood. I'm alive, I am alive because he lives. Let my song join the one that never ends because he lives. I was dead in the grave. I was covered in sin and shame. But I heard mercy call my name, and he rolled the stone away. I'm alive because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, every fear is gone. And I know he holds my life. He holds my future in his hands. Amen, amen. Let our song, church, join the one that never ends. Can you say amen tonight? Because he lives, church, we too are alive in him. Let us rejoice tonight. Let us allow every weight to be lifted, every eye to be opened, every heart to be opened. Let joy and peace enter every soul. Life is worth the living just because he lives. Let's worship and celebrate with those who are being baptized tonight. Amen.